Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on homeschooling right after this. Well, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed this scriptural principle when they put into our federal constitution, at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words: "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." But in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took our silver coins out of circulation. In place of just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coins in place of silver coin. Now, in the intervening 70 years, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons in the law school conducted twice a year here at the law school in Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package if you prefer. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Tonight's report from the School Reform News, published by the Heartland.org. It's the, let me give you the straight skinny from Heartland that publishes School Reform News. School Reform News is published 11 times a year by the Heartland Institute. Subscriptions are $36 a year. You can order online at www.heartland.org. Heartland is a nonprofit and nonpartisan public policy research organization serving the nation's federal and state elected officials, journalists, and Heartland members and other opinion leaders. Its activities are tax exempt under Section 501(c)(3) of the Internal Revenue Code. Tonight's report on homeschooling, the author, David W. Kirkpatrick. The evidence that homeschooled students do well is more than special interest pleading. Departments of education in such states as Alaska, Tennessee, and Washington have conducted studies that found the typical homeschooled student comes out ahead on virtually every significant measurement. More than 200 colleges, including such prestigious institutions as Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, actively seek to attract homeschooled students, not only because of their high SAT scores, but because of their advanced social skills as well. Specific instances abound, and one family sent three homeschooled youngsters to Harvard. A homeschooler wrote a bestseller at age 15. Homeschoolers placed first, second, and third in the 2000 National Spelling Bee. Patrick Henry College in Virginia was founded for such students. Former U.S. Secretary of Education Bill Bennett has suggested, probably only partly tongue-in-cheek, that maybe we should subcontract all of public education to homeschoolers. Self-esteem is a goal for students, much proclaimed by many public educators, a goal that, whatever its merits as a theory, has created much controversy. John Wesley Taylor found in research published in 1986 that homeschooled children did far better when measured for this attribute as well. Only 10% were below the national average. And by definition, among the general student body, 50% score below average. Studies by Cornell University professor Yuri Bronfenbrenner suggest that at least until age 10 or 12, students who spend more time with their children their age than with their parents tend to rely on other children for their values. The result? Well, they tend to have a lower sense of self-worth, of optimism, of respect for their parents, and ironically, even of trust in their peers. If Bronfenbrenner is correct, this is one of the major and unrecognized reasons for the growing dysfunction of much adolescent behavior in America. Now, more than 200 colleges, including such prestigious institutions as Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, actively seek to attract these homeschooled students, both for their high SAT scores and for their advanced social skills, so much for the rhetorical concern about socialization. A 1960 study for the Smithsonian Institution by Harold McCurdy concluded that genius is more likely to develop among children who spend more time with their parents and other adults. They spend less time with their peers and have freedom to work out their fantasies. McCurdy also suggested the public school system tends to do the reverse and restrict the development of geniuses. Martin Engel, the head of the National Demonstration Center for Early Childhood Education in Washington, D.C., some years back, said that children sense rejection if they are schooled too early. Raymond S. Moore, citing Engel in a September 1985 article, suggested that early schooling may be the most pervasive form of child abuse in the 80s. Now, that may be carrying things a bit too far, but in the face of the evidence, there is absolutely no justification for the hostility that so many public school supporters seem to feel toward homeschooled children. In district after district, they are rejected when they try to participate in a limited number of school activities, academic or extracurricular, although a number of states now require public schools to allow just such participation. In Pennsylvania, which lacks such a law, hundreds of school districts do this voluntarily. As Stephen Ahrens wondered in his 1983 book, Compelling Belief, why is it that millions of children who are push-outs or dropouts amount to business as usual in the public schools, while one family educating a child at home becomes a major threat to universal public education and the survival of democracy? Homeschooled students, whether there are 850,000 or 2 million of them, save the tax-paying public billions of dollars a year by withdrawing from the public schools. Using $9,000 per pupil as a rough approximation of current annual spending on public schools and public school students, homeschooled students save the tax-paying public between $7 and $18 billion a year. And it's been estimated that homeschooling parents spend about $800 of their own money annually to educate each child. In brief, although no one should be compelled to undertake the unusual dedication required to homeschool their children, those who wish to do so should not have government place bureaucratic roadblocks in their way. The evidence to date makes it clear the success rate is much higher for homeschoolers, while the actual cost is much lower, as little as zero for taxpayers. The results, the benefits, students, parents, family, and society all receive. It doesn't get much better than that. Now, David W. Kirkpatrick is a senior education fellow with the U.S. Freedom Foundation and also with the Buckeye Institute in Columbus, Ohio. This article was released to the public by the author on December 23, 2004. If you'd like to contact the author, his email address is kirkdw@aol.com. Now, the summary of homeschool laws in the 50 states, if you are homeschooling or if you've thought that you might want to homeschool, why don't you get a pen and paper out, and when you hear the name of your state come up, I'll tell you what the state of the homeschooling art is in the state that you live in. For instance, is it hard or simple to educate your child in school? Are there lots of roadblocks, or are there only a few? The summary of homeschool laws in the 50 states look like this. Homeschooling in the United States, a legal analysis by Christopher J. Klicka, contains a one-page legal summary for each state and territory in the Union. It's available for $20 from HSLDA, P.O. Box 3000, Purcellville, Virginia, 20132, or online, www.hslda.org, or the telephone number is 540-338-5600. Residents of the following states must add applicable sales tax. States such as California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Massachusetts, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Virginia. Add your applicable sales tax for your state to the $20. If you'd like a copy of the Homeschooling in the United States, a legal analysis by Christopher J. Klicka, K-L-I-C-K-A. It contains a one-page legal summary for each state and territory in the Union. It's available for $20 from HSLDA, P.O. Box 3000, Purcellville, spelled P-U-R-C-E-L-L-V-I-L-L-E, Virginia, V-A, the zip code 20132. Well, 37 states have adopted homeschool statutes or regulations in the following years. In 1997, Alaska and Delaware. 1996, Michigan. In 1991, Iowa. 1990, Connecticut and New Hampshire. In 1989, Hawaii, Maine, North Dakota, and Ohio. In 1988, Colorado, North Carolina, New York, Pennsylvania, and South Carolina. In 1987, Maryland, Minnesota, Vermont, and West Virginia. In 1986, Missouri. In 1985, Arkansas, Florida, New Mexico, Oregon, Tennessee, Washington, and Wyoming. In 1984, Georgia, Louisiana, Rhode Island, and Virginia. 1983, Montana and Wisconsin. 1982, Arizona and Missouri. 1957, Utah. And in 1956, Nevada. Now, some states still give superintendents or school boards the discretionary authority to approve homeschools. Some states do not require any approval of homeschools, and some states do require approval of homeschooling. The rules governing homeschooling in Maryland, New York, and Ohio are State Board of Education regulations rather than statutes. Remember, that's Maryland, New York, and Ohio. It's where your State Board of Education regulates homeschooling rather than the statutes of the states. The rules governing homeschools in Connecticut are Department of Education guidelines. The rest are homeschool statutes enacted by the state legislatures. All right, so four states, Maryland, New York, Ohio, and Connecticut, do not have statutes that regulate homeschooling. 41 states do not require homeschool parents to meet any specific teacher qualifications. 41 states do not require you to have any kind of specific teacher qualifications. Those requiring a high school diploma or a GED are the following states: Georgia, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Tennessee. So 41 states do not require homeschool parents to meet any specific teacher qualifications. Only 9 states require that you have some qualifications, and those qualifications are that you have a high school diploma or a GED, General Education Department equivalent. Those states are Georgia, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Now, the remaining two states, have the following qualification requirements. North Dakota requires that you have a high school diploma or GED, and the parent must be monitored by a certified teacher for 2 years. West Virginia allows parents with a GED or high school diploma to teach until the child reaches high school. So just two states require monitoring by some source, such as a local school board or a teacher. West Virginia parents' formal education must remain 4 years ahead of the student. So, in West Virginia, if you went to the 10th grade, you'd be 4 years ahead of a child in the first, second, third, and fourth grade. Again, if you'll check with your state statutes, you can find out if your state is one of the states that has state statutes that regulate your school and homeschooling activities, as to what the requirements are. Or you can get a summary of the report that I'm giving you tonight from Christopher J. Klicka. That's spelled K-L-I-C-K-A. The email address is think@heartland.org. That's think, T-H-I-N-K, at heartland.org. Christopher J. Klicka is a senior counsel for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and he has intervened on behalf of thousands of homeschool families all across the country. So if you need an advocate in your homeschool fight, if you're having a fight with the local school board, etc., then you can get help here at think@heartland.org. I'd like to make an editorial comment here, because I homeschooled my children, and we noticed here in Missouri it's very lax. They have a statutory regime here that gives the local school board or the local school district over here at what we call the Lutie School, the authority to bring our child in to have her tested once a year to see if she's up to grade level. When our girl, our daughter, was in the sixth or seventh grade, she scored at the 12.45 level. That's high school, senior, and beyond in the seventh grade. It's my contention that a homeschooled child should always be a year or 2 years ahead of the local schools. And, you know, if your kid's got pretty good sense, they'll probably score 3 or 4 years ahead. Now, going on, 41 states do not require homeschool parents to meet any specific teacher qualifications. There's only a few states that require specific qualifications. At present, three states, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Utah, subject homeschools to the discretionary approval of the local school district, school board, or state commissioner. Now, I noted that because it did not include Missouri. Now, we had been called in to our local school district at Lutie to have our girl tested, I think, twice over the years. They didn't do it every year, but they did do it twice. And the last time, they simply told us, well, there's nothing more that we can do for you. She already scores higher than our high school graduating seniors, so there's no need for her to be tested any further. And that satisfied our local school board. Now, I notice here in this article, they did not include Missouri, but there are three states where the school board can require you to do that. That's Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Utah. And I was informed by our local school board that Missouri was in there also. They might have lied to me. Six states, Connecticut, Indiana, Kansas, Maine, New Jersey, and Nevada, require instruction or amount of time to be equivalent to those of the public schools. The term equivalent was struck down by the courts as void because of vagueness in Minnesota and Missouri. Three states, Delaware, Maryland, and Rhode Island, require instruction to be regular and thorough. Idaho requires instruction to be comparable to public schools. Three states, California, Kansas, and New York, require homeschool teachers to be competent, qualified, or capable of teaching, and in those three states, less than a GED is recognized as competent. New York parents who comply with the home instruction regulation are deemed competent. Individual home schools may operate as private or church schools in at least 12 states. So if you and a group of other like-minded people in these states, 12 states, Alabama, Alaska, California, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, and Texas, you can form your own school, hire your own teacher, and send your child to that school. Let's try this out. The Amish do it very regularly all over America, or at least in those parts of America where the Amish live. Let's suppose that you're religiously oriented Baptists, or maybe you're politically oriented Republicans, or maybe you're something else. So what is it that keeps you and a group of other people in synchronization? Birds of a feather flock together. You could hire one person to operate that school. Now, to give you an illustration as to how this used to work, the public school system worked the same way when I was a kid. For instance, on Cannibal Road out in Lolita, California, also known as Lighthouse Road, there was a school out there at Table Bluff Hill. There's probably 10, 15, maybe 20 farmers out there. Most of those farm families, you know, had children. And so they had to build a school. And so they organized a school board out there. And the school board, that is a group of five people elected by the other 20, formed a district out there with a geographical location from Highway 101 down to Lolita's Lighthouse Road and out the road to the lighthouse. And they donated the lumber and building materials, and a bunch of them went together on it and built a little building out there, a little one-room schoolhouse. They then hired a school teacher. Now, almost all of these people are Roman Catholics. They're Italians and Portuguese. So guess what the religious affiliation of the teacher would be? If you guessed Catholic, go to the head of the class. Now, what about the curriculum and the books? Well, the state will typically step in and say, well, you've got to have a math book, and that math book has to meet these standards or qualifications. And they hired a certified teacher, which is what the state requires, at least at that time. But if you are operating a private school, you wouldn't need a certified teacher. Not in California. You'd only need somebody with an equivalent GED, and you would pick somebody out of your group. Now think about that, because the cost of educating a child in a homeschool environment is around $800 a year. In parochial school, it's around $2,500 a year, and in public school, it's $9,000 a year. Now, you're paying these public taxes to support these schools to educate children at $9,000 a year, and you get a superior product out of parochial schools and homeschools, and everybody's in agreement. A superior product out of homeschool and out of parochial school, and they cost a third of the amount of money. Now, what does that tell you? $3,000 to send a child to a parochial school. That's a Catholic school, a Baptist school, or some other parochial school. Now, certainly some of them cost more than that, but on average, nationwide, they're around $3,000 or less. Homeschool, around $800. We educated our child here at home, and I don't think we ever spent over $500 a year, and she scored at 12th grade level when she was in the 7th grade, or 12 years old. Now, that tells you a little something about the value of home school, doesn't it? And we bought those programs. You know, you can buy these programs for home school, and probably the Heartland Institute could tell you where to buy them. Heartland Institute, let me give you their code again, .org. It's www.heartland.org is their webpage. Now, if you would like to order a subscription to the School Reform News, it's published by the Heartland Institute, $36 a year. And you can order online at www.heartland.org. All right, they go on to tell us, individual home schools may operate as private or church schools in at least these 12 states. Let me give them to you again. Alabama, Alaska, California, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, and Texas. Groups of homeschoolers rather than individual home schools can qualify as private or church schools in five other states. Private or church schools in Colorado, Florida, Maine, Utah, and Vermont. Again, that's Colorado, Florida, Maine, Utah, and Vermont. 25 states require standardized testing or other evaluation of the children. The following 10 states require only standardized testing. That is Arkansas, Georgia, Minnesota, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Oregon, South Dakota, and Tennessee. Two of those states, Georgia and Minnesota, do not require submission of results to the public school. Of the 25 states that require some evaluation of progress, 16 states provide an alternative to testing. Those states are Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Hawaii, Iowa, Louisiana, Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, and West Virginia. Connecticut requires only a portfolio review, and Colorado, New Hampshire, and Washington do not require submission of test results or evaluation to the public school officials. Now, Oklahoma is the only state with a constitutional amendment that specifically guarantees the right to homeschool. Note, this information does not constitute the giving of legal advice, so says the Heartland Institute. Now, if you'd like to write to the author, Christopher J. Klicka, that's K-L-I-C-K-A. Just get on the webpage and go to the email, think, T-H-I-N-K, that's T-H-I-N-K, at heartland.org. Remember, Christopher J. Klicka is senior counsel for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association and has intervened on behalf of thousands of homeschool families across the country. Now, on this page, there's a map, and the map is divided into yellow, orange, red, and green. Let me tell you where the states are in regards to the toughest states and the easiest states. Now, the green states are those states that are the easiest, states requiring no notice, no state requirements for parents to initiate any contact. I mean, you can educate your kid. You don't have to tell the state that you're going to operate a homeschool or do jack squat. Here they are, the green states. Idaho, Alaska, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Connecticut, New Jersey, Guam, and Puerto Rico. So those are the easy states. The green states on the map, I happen to live in one of those green states, one of the easy states to homeschool in. It gets progressively harder. As you go up the list, the yellow states are states with low regulation, but the state does require parental notification only. So all you need to do is to notify the state school board, or in our state here, I guess it would be the local school board here at the Ludi School, or the State Department of Education. Send them a letter and tell them, I'm going to educate my kid at home. So all that's required is that you give them notification. And that takes you off of the truancy list. Here's those states. California, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Montana, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Mississippi, Alabama, Delaware. So, in those states, oh, there's one more, the Virgin Islands. Virgin Islands. You have to give notice. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to subject yourself to any testing or any kind of extracurricular activity. Now, it gets progressively tougher, and we've got some orange states. And in the orange states, that is, those states with moderate regulation, these states require parents to send notification, test scores, and or professional evaluation of student progress. These moderate states with moderate regulation are Oregon, Colorado, South Dakota, Iowa, Arkansas, Louisiana, Hawaii, I already gave you that one. Ohio, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, and New Hampshire. Now there you have some rules you have to follow. Either by statute or by order of the school board, you have to have your children tested from time to time. Now remember, we did that in our state, and our state's one of the green states. At least that's what they told us. You shouldn't have any problem with a homeschool child with a homeschool curriculum that is designed for homeschool use. Now, you don't have to have a teaching credential, and you don't have to have a degree from college. You don't have to have an education credential of some kind to educate a child at home. The programs that you buy, whether they're computer or whether they're books and standard programs, contain all of the information that you as a parent will need to educate your child at home. And it doesn't require a structured 6 or 8 hour a day program where a kid sits here staring out the window while you're trying to beat him over the head with all of this book learning. Our daughter spent probably an hour or 2 hours a day working on her homeschool program. That's it. An hour or two a day, and spent the rest of the day outside chasing butterflies and frogs down at the pond, having a good time, which is where kids belong. Now, there are a few states here that are pretty tough. They've got states with the highest regulation. These states require parents to send notification of or achievement test scores and or professional evaluation plus other requirements. For example, there may be curriculum requirements or approval by the state of the curriculum, teacher qualification of parents, or home visits by state officials. The red states are Washington State, Utah, North Dakota, Minnesota, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, Vermont, Maine, Rhode Island, and I think I told you Massachusetts. All right. So they're divided into four categories: easy states, states with low regulation, states with moderate regulation, and states with high regulation. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of this, send your request to Think, THINK, at heartland.org. All right, I got to give you a reminder and a little caveat here. The opinions, the beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of the network or of this radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to my website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. You're listening to the Law Hour and editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just go to the telephone and call direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or if you're online, go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Florida policy on social promotion helps students. You know, a new study was found ending social promotion leads to significant academic improvement for previously low-performing students. You know, I would say, duh. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have tests. And there were certain standards that you had to meet if you were going to go from the third grade to the fourth grade or the fifth grade to the sixth grade. And if you couldn't meet those standards, you'd be held back and you could do it over. Or you could go to summer school and see if you could pass the test at the end of the summer before the new school year began. But you had to be up to and up with all of the rest of the students. Now down in Florida, they had a policy of social promotion. I imagine that's pretty rampant across America, and we'll explain why it is that public school education is so poor. The study published in December of 2004 by the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research looked at third grade students in Florida who were required to pass a standardized test in order to be promoted to the fourth grade. Researchers Dr. Jay Green, he's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and Marcus Winters, a research associate at the Institute, analyzed data from the Florida Department of Education, and they compared the gains among the low-scoring third graders in the first year of the retention policy against similarly low-scoring third grade students from the previous year, before the retention policy had been enacted. Well, the study found that students who had been held back improved their reading scores on the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test by 4.1 percentile points and their math scores by 9.98 percentile points compared to similar students who had not been held back. Percentile points measure student performance relative to others, and they indicate what percentage of fellow students they outscored. For example, a percentile score of 25 indicates that a student scored better than 25% of his or her peers. Now, let me point something out to you here. This percentile. If you take all of the students in America, they score at what they call the 50th percentile. All the students of America in public school score at the 50th percentile unless they go to an inner city public school like Cleveland, Los Angeles, or New York, where they score at about 25, about half as well. Now, when you get up to sending children to parochial schools, that's like sending them to the Catholic schools, the parochial schools, or the Baptist schools, etc., they score at around the 80th percentile, 30 points higher than the average public school student. If you homeschool your child, on average they score at the 86th percentile. So if you've got an average child in your home school, he's going to score in the top 86, at the 86th percentile. It's in the top 14, that is out of 100 students nationwide, your kid would be one of the 14 at the top, homeschooled. In parochial school, one of the 20 at the top. In the public school system, at mediocre, 50-50, and if they're in the inner city public schools, at the 25th percentile nationwide. Now that's how poor the public school system is. And you can take your child out of public school in every state in the union and educate that child at home. Wouldn't you rather have your child scoring at the 86th percentile or the 80th percentile? And keep this in mind. I don't care if you're dumb and you never graduated from high school. You can educate your child at home. There's a way to do that. And the programs are already done and they're about $800 a year. $800 a year. We educated our children here for, I think it was $546 a year to buy all the books and computers and all the things that they needed. Now, there was some praise for the study policy. In commenting on the study, the U.S. Secretary of Education, Rod Page, said, "For too many years, we automatically passed students from one grade to the next without concern for whether they were actually learning. As a result, our most vulnerable students fell further and further behind. And I applaud schools in Florida and across the nation that are working to help our children by stopping the dangerous practice of social promotion." Where did the dangerous practice of social promotion come from? Wasn't it from the public school system and the National Education Association and all of the professors and think tank PhDs that said, "Oh, we know what we need to do with the children of America. We don't need to test them to see if they can read and write and spell. We need to give them social promotion so that they won't feel bad about themselves." Now that's called a dangerous practice. And the Secretary of Education praised the public schools of Florida for reversing that dangerous practice. Well, then, didn't they put that dangerous practice into operation? What in the hell were they thinking about when they put that dangerous practice into operation in the first place? I mean, these are people with PhDs, ladies and gentlemen, piled higher and deeper. You know, just your common sense ought to tell you that a child needs to be tested to see whether or not he's up to at least the average. Average. The average means that half the kids are smarter than your kid, and half the kids are dumber than your kid. Your kid ought to be right in there at the average somewhere, shouldn't he? They go on to say a little bit more here. Speaking to the Sun Sentinel in Florida, Broward School Board member Robin Bartleman reported that she had seen academic improvement in third graders retained at Poinsettia Park, that's Poinsettia Park Elementary in Miami-Dade County, where she had previously worked as an assistant principal. Bartleman expressed concern, however, about a possible negative impact of ending social promotion. "These students are going to have trouble with self-esteem," Bartleman said. Hang on a second. Self-esteem? You're 8 years old and you can't spell. You can't read, and you can't do arithmetic. And we're going to pass you into the fourth grade, where all the rest of the students can read, write, and do arithmetic. What do you think that's going to do to that child's self-esteem when the rest of the kids over here can do that level of work and your kid can't? Huh? Well, think about that for a minute, and then why don't you work to help your child in a homeschooling program where your child can work at his own pace and he doesn't have any peer pressure, no drugs, well, unless you bring him into your own home school, you can control your own, you'll have your own drug program there, won't you? You won't have any sex problems, you won't have any dress code problems. You don't have to worry about your kid making the best dressed kid in the class. Nobody cares what your kid looks like out on the farm. Now, U.S. students flunk math again. There's a need for high school reform that's been cited. On December 7th, 2004, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, released initial results of the 2003 program for international student assessment. It's called the PISA study, which tested 250,000 students in 41 countries. So they took 41 countries around the world, took 250,000 students in those 41 countries and tested them. The PISA 2003 survey was focused on mathematics, but it also examined the students' performances in problem-solving, science, reading, and student approaches to school and attitudes toward learning. Then, more specifically, the PISA tested real-world math skills and whether students could apply those math concepts outside of the classroom. a statistical representative sample of 15-year-old children from each country participated in the study. 15-year-olds were then tested to ensure different nations would have comparable student populations, since schooling is compulsory for all 15-year-olds in each of the countries tested. Now, for understanding of concepts, the study found that high school students in the United States have a poorer understanding of basic math concepts than their counterparts in most other leading industrialized nations. I got to pause here for a moment, make my editorial comment. When your child goes to a public school, he goes to a school that has certified teachers who have been educated in college and have degrees and letters after their names, don't they? And you pay for that, and you're paying $9,000 of your tax dollars or somebody else's tax dollars to educate your child in that public school with a teacher who has a certification that says, I am smart. I am a certified teacher. Don't they? Now, tuck that one away in your heart. As we progress, the PISA study ranked the United States 24th out of 29 countries in the OECD in mathematics, literacy, and problem solving. Students from Finland and South Korea had the highest scores. Using the OECD's adjusted average score of 500 points, the United States scored 483, 61 points behind top-scoring Finland, and 51 points behind Japan. Did you get that? 61 points behind top-scoring Finland, 51 points behind Japan. The study. States were outperformed by almost every developed nation, with only Mexico and Portugal scoring lower. Did you get that? Now, I'm going to assume that the states that scored lower, that is Portugal and Mexico, they also have certified teachers who went to college and have degrees after their names, just like American teachers do. Don't you think that $9,000 with a certified teacher with a degree after her name or his name should be able to at least teach a child to be as competent as a homeschooled child who's being educated by a mother who maybe didn't even graduate from high school? Wouldn't you think? Now remember, 41 states here in the United States do not require that you have a teaching credential to educate your child at home. If you're educating your child at home, on average, your child is going to score in the 86th percentile. You know, you take 100 kids and your kid's going to be the 14 at the top. And in the public schools, they're in an average public school, they're going to score at the 50th percentile, 60% lower than homeschool. And the guy that's scoring 60% lower on average in the public school is being educated by someone that's got a teaching credential, for crying out loud, and is a paid professional, aren't they? How come amateurs without teaching credentials, without degrees from college, can educate their children 60% smarter than the paid professionals, for crying out loud? And it costs $9,000 to dumb your kid down. President Clinton a few years back said, what we need in America is more teachers, smaller classrooms, and higher paychecks. Now, how does that equate? You got a teacher in public school. The kid's average scores at the 50th percentile, costs $9,000 to educate him. You got a teacher at home. She is a high school dropout, and she's educating her kid, and her kid, with the use of a homeschooling program, is in the is in the 86th percentile, 60% smarter than the kid that goes to the public school. And now what are we going to do to help this up? We're going to pay the public school teacher more money and cut her class size in half. Did you get that? Do you, honest to God, do you believe that if you were to take a public school teacher, cut the class size in half, and double her paycheck, that those kids are going to be any smarter? You think maybe if you paid $18,000 a kid, and instead of 30 kids in the class, maybe there's only 15, that they're going to get smarter suddenly? No, you know, my common sense tells me that the solution is to jerk all those kids out of the public schools and educate them at home. Or take the kids out of the public schools and send them over here to the parochial schools. They can score at the 80th percentile, and they can do it for one-third the money. Don't you think? Or don't you think maybe the public schools ought to go into the Catholic schools and the Protestant schools and the private schools and say, what in the hell are you guys doing over here that you can educate kids 60% better for one-third the money? Maybe we could learn from you. I often listen to people talking about Walmart and what a bad business the company is. You know, how they treat their employees so poorly, and that they're a real drag on the economy and how bad Walmart is. I went into a Kmart store the other day, and I was looking for something, and I went up to this person. I couldn't tell if they worked there or not, but I thought she did, and sure enough, she did. And I said, can you tell me where to get this thingy? And she said, I don't know, but maybe down there and down that island over there. You walk into a Walmart store, and everybody that works there is wearing some kind of a costume that you can recognize immediately. You walk up to one and you say, I'm looking for a thingy, and they take you to it. You walk into a Kmart store, and there's no one to greet you. No one gives a damn whether you're alive or dead. You walk into a Walmart store. The guy walks up to you and says, thanks for coming to Walmart, gives you a shopping basket, and says, is there anything I can do for you? And then you bitch about the Walmart formula. It would seem like to me that Kmart ought to go over to the Walmart store and pay attention to what the Walmart guy is doing, and then go back and do the same thing in his store. I think he'd do better. You know, my common sense says for you public school teachers out there, you ought to go talk to some homeschool teachers. You ought to take a look at some homeschool programs. You ought to go to the local Catholic school and say, hey, what are you guys doing here that you can educate children 60% better than we can for one-third the money? And whatever it is, you copy it. Just do exactly what they're doing. U.S. students flunk math again. It isn't U.S. students flunk math, it's again. This has been going on for years and years and years, boys and girls. This isn't something new that just came about or came upon us in the Clinton years, for crying out loud. It's been going on for the last 50 years. They call it, here's why Johnny can't read. Johnny can't read, and he can't do math either. Well, I'm about out of time. I got to leave it right there. Remember, the law hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to the website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio logs, schedule, and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.